Welcome to the Rearview Mirror Podcast, looking back on all that we don't know and a few things that we do.
Are we on?
Let's go.
Okay. So we are on?
We are on.
Sit up straight like Jeff.
I'm trying to just chill. Just like, I don't know how to chill.
Well, Mrs. Johnson, I'm glad to be in your first grade class today. I'll be paying attention, writing on the board, answering all the questions
correctly. Good
morning
correctly. And welcome. Okay.
Because I am the perfect student. Hey, good morning. Checking the mic.
Perfect.
Me or the mic?
Definitely the microphone, if it doesn't collapse again. Hey, you were just saying something about you're violating one of your foundational principles of life. You're eating the same meal 2 days in a row. And you said a couple phrases I didn't know what they were, so start talking again. I want to hear this.
Yeah, foundational principle may be strong.
Okay.
But my preference, this is a first world issue. I totally get that, so... Don't write or call, because you don't know how to write or call me anyway. So we're going to keep that. I would prefer not to eat the same meal twice in a row.
Okay.
I'm a foodie. I'm a bit of a snob. I don't mind eating leftovers two nights later.
Yeah.
But I want something else different in between.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have other people that I know that I respect that share that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm doing it today. I got up early this morning. I put a pork picnic shoulder on. A smoker.
Okay.
We're having some friends over tonight. Gonna do that. And then I have some family coming in town tomorrow. So it's just an easy two nighter. They'll have it tomorrow night. I might make something different for myself tomorrow night.
But you could possibly have it 3 days in a row.
No, there's no way.
No. Okay. So pork shoulder, I know. Pork picnic shoulder, enlighten me.
So the pork shoulder, commonly referred to as the pork butt, is part of the, it's actually a shoulder. So I learned this week. I think I read this. I think I'll remember this correctly from what I read. Pork butt gets its name from years ago, the ham and the pork shoulder, when the butchers were taking apart the pig, they would put it in a barrel, and that barrel was called a butt. They just nicknamed, for some reason, the barrel was called the butt. That's why it's called a pork butt. So it's actually the shoulder.
Okay.
So the shoulder
is
back towards the back.
All right.
And then the picnic is where the arm kind of connects. So it's got a little bone in it and a little... skin fat there, so it's just it's the more front part of the shoulder.
Oh, okay, I've never heard that phrase.
It's pretty similar. It's a little lighter in color. Probably has a little less marbling and fat.
Mm-hmm. Still cooks well though.
Very flavorful, very tasty. So that's on and going at the house this morning. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. Good for you. Kind of early got that going.
Well, we're having the whole crew over on Sunday. This coming Sunday will be Mother's Day as we're recording. And we're having the whole crew over, which is unusual, but it's going to be so fun. So I sent a text out to all the moms, you know, the daughters-in-law, and said, hey, tell me your preference. I'm cooking. So excited to serve all of you. Give me a protein. Give me a couple favorite vegetables. Give me a dessert. The only thing I heard was steak, 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 and steak. So it's kind of easy.
There we go.
Yeah. I can do sides for that real quick. So that'll be a fun, easy cook this weekend.
Yeah.
How's everything else in your world?
Take a long time to go through everything else.
Okay. That'd be a fun way to get started.
I don't know. I don't know that it'd be that fun. It's fine.
Yeah.
Good. It's fine. Good. It's fine. I'm fine. I'm okay. Everything's fine.
All right. Yeah. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a different podcast,
last week,
probably.
Yeah. That's when you do your I had a beer with my younger self night.
Right. Yeah. Well, you're not going to let that go.
Yeah.
Right?
No, it's just fun. I know last week we were talking about, you know, wanting to hear some questions from people. And of course, that one just posted this morning. So obviously we haven't heard much. But we did get one question a couple weeks ago that I thought it would be fun for us to kick around a little bit today.
All right.
So a friend of both of ours, he goes by Chef Huddy on Instagram.
Oh, man. God, that dude.
Isn't he the best?
God, he's so awesome.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, a great cook, and wondering how much I really like him because he's a really good golfer.
Yeah.
And he's a really good cook.
Yeah.
And, man, pisses me off sometimes.
Nothing like a young man being your role model, huh?
Right.
Right.
He's who I want to be when I grow up.
That's right. So Hudson, he just shot a thing on Instagram. He said, I would love to hear y'all's take on loneliness versus being alone. I think it's a topic that many people my age struggle with.
Wow.
Loneliness versus being alone.
Man, that's a great question.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to blindside you with it a little bit this morning.
Yeah.
Give you a chance just to reflect on a little bit and... start talking about it a little bit. I think the one thing I'd say, Hudson, is I think it's a question not just his generation, but I think at some level it's so core in the makeup of who we are. At some level, we all focus on, feel that and deal with that. I think his generation may be more pronounced according to him, but nonetheless, I think we all deal with that.
Yeah, I would say so. And I just, you know, if you start at the beginning, I think, you know, again, you go back to Genesis, if you believe the story of the Bible, God said it's not good for man to be alone. And I don't, you know, I don't know that that means you constantly have to be around people.
Right, right.
But I don't know that we're designed to live life in solitude.
Yeah.
So that's, I think you're right. It's a fundamental problem, not only for his generation, but ours and everyone. And I think unique to this generation, though, that's different than ours is the world of social media.
Yeah.
And not to sound like an old guy, but.
This is kind of true, though.
It is. And, you know, again, I spent some time around students when I was coaching and just noticed the significance of the social media world and the pressure. You know, in our day, if I went somewhere on a Friday night, the only people that knew where I went were the people that I told or the people I went with.
Right, right.
Now, everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. So there's all that pressure. But I think it's we've talked about this, and this is low-hanging fruit. This is not, you know, anything earth-shattering. Social media gives you the illusion of friends.
It does. It does. Because I'm watching so many other people's lives. I'm, quote-unquote, connecting with them. Yeah. You know, I even friend them. The language is so interesting in that space.
Yeah.
When in reality, I may never speak to that person.
I have no idea what's going on in their life.
At the true level, right.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot about this just in the work that I do, walking with people who come in and they'll often present with, I'm so lonely. And my first thing is I want to know, what does that really mean? You know, because there's a place of being lonely that can be one of the best places to be when it's more kind of like Hudson said, kind of more like being alone, choosing to live in a season or day or a moment of going, man, I need to be alone and be with myself. You know, being alone can be powerful because it opens up the door to process what's going on in my inner world. What have I been feeling, thinking? What are my desires? What do I want?
Right.
You know, I mean, I think there's something powerful about doing that. And like in my personality wiring, that's one of the hardest things in the world for me to do is just to slow down and be still.
Yeah.
You know, it's not natural for me. Years ago, I was invited to go on a 2-day silent retreat. And I don't know why I said yes, but I did.
And sorry, I'm not laughing at you.
No, yeah.
But I kind of am a little bit. Yeah.
You probably should. But, you know, I remember getting there and it was.
Can't imagine you on a silent retreat.
Oh my gosh. It was a guided retreat. So every morning, this guy would speak for maybe 10 minutes and kind of just set the tone for us. We'd go alone for about 3 hours. We'd come to lunch and literally eat in complete silence. Oh my gosh. And then the afternoon, all alone. And then after dinner, at dinner we would break and we would begin to talk about what was the day like, what did you hear, what did you observe, what did you notice. And I remember there were like 12 guys there. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so glad to hear words. But then I had nothing to share because I thought, I don't know. I was just enduring that alone time. I think that season of my life, I didn't know how to be reflective at all. It was just like, what's the next task that needs to be accomplished? There's still a lot of that in me, but I think there's times when now I realize, gosh, I've been on the go a lot. I need to just downshift. Maybe it's just going for a walk. Maybe it's just being alone at the house if Laura's out of town or something, but there's something about that can be really therapeutic. But then there's this other part that when they talk about loneliness, where I'm just going, gosh, I have no connection. I don't know how to connect. I have this yearning for something, and that's the place that, left untended to, bad things can happen there, I think.
Yeah, man, I have so many thoughts when you do that story. One thought is, though, and I have this conversation with friends of mine a lot that, you know, say, hey, I'd love to be more relaxed, or I need to get more done. I think one of the keys to loneliness is understanding who you are. And, you know, we were just talking about, I was curious what your morning routine was, because I was thinking, it dawned on me the other day that, you know, I get up and it's probably 2 or 3 hours before I speak a word to anybody.
Wow.
Just the, you know, I work from home. My partners are on the East Coast. I don't have an office to go to. You know, so, sometimes because they're on the East Coast, we may have conversations rarely early, but Jen's doing other things. And, you know, so it could be a couple hours before I say anything
to
anybody or do anything other than, you know, work emails or read or something. But,
You have a really slow alone routine, not even routine, but morning preference.
I love a pace. I love a slower pace in the morning.
Yep.
I try not to, you know, not because of discipline. I don't play golf early in the morning.
Yep.
I don't, you know, I don't really exercise super early in the morning. I just like to have I like to ease into the day a little bit, but that's the way I'm wired.
Right.
And so my challenge is, hey, all right, at some point I got to shut that off and get going and start knocking some stuff out.
Right.
And I think if you're wired the other way, more like you are, I don't think the solitude's going to look the same.
Mm-mm.
And
Mm-mm.
it could just be a 5 minutes or 10 minutes to slow down, or it could be letting your brain run wild while you walk or something.
But,
So I think understanding who you are is part of it, and not putting some expectation on yourself that's never going to it's never going to work.
Okay, when you said that, I have not thought of this story in a while. I had the privilege of taking a class, 30 plus years ago with Dallas Willard. If you don't know that name, Dallas Willard was such an interesting man. If I remember right, he was like maybe ordained as a Southern Baptist pastor or something like that. But he was like head of the Department of Philosophy at the University of Southern California.
Huh.
So brilliant guy. I mean, just brilliant. Wrote tons of books on spiritual discipline, spiritual growth, how we change, just, you know, massive footprint in the Christian culture. I took this class with him, and the class was on the spiritual disciplines. And so in it, he had us read, I don't know, half a dozen books. And they were from all these people from the 12th, 13th, 14th century. And they're these, you know, they're these monks and there's these men and women who just would live in silence and solitude, go live in the cave for a season. And then at the end, we had to write this reflection paper on each of these books, probably a page and a half, 2 pages, wasn't a big deal. And for me, I read those books and I was really earnestly trying to go, gosh, there's got to be something good in here for me. And I'd read about, you know, the seven stairs, and then I'd read about, you know, the rules of St. Benedict, and I'd just be like, oh my gosh, these people are driving me crazy, because it was all very methodical, very structured, very slow. And then the last one I read was about, I don't remember who it was about, but, you know, spent multiple months in this cave all alone with someone bringing food that he never even interacted with. And so I'm writing my reflection papers and just, you know, kind of saying, here's what I saw, here's what I thought. And my last couple paragraphs, I wrote something like, I can't quote myself by any stretch, but it was something like, while it was interesting reading these practices of, you know, church fathers and mothers, I look at where we are in our culture today, and there's so much to be done, and there's so many people to talk to. And I just kind of did my, this is never going to be my way of living.
Right.
There's too much to do, and I need to stay on the go. I'll wake up, I move fast, and I keep moving fast, and that's just the way I need to live. But it's interesting to see how others lived. So Dallas Willard was a man of few words in this class and very soft-spoken. I get this paper back from him, and he gives me a nice grade on it. I'll never forget, I still see the red pen. But then underneath it, he just wrote two words. It was this, so sad.
Wow.
And he was making the statement, so sad that you don't see the need to slow down. And I remember just being not offended by any stretch, but just going, oh, well, yeah, well, that's you, but that's not my life. I've got stuff to do. You know, what was it, Eddie Murphy say? Places to go, people to see, you know, like I'm busy. But gosh, through the years, I just think that was a sage with two words speaking in my life, words I've never been able to get away from, realizing, gosh, it is sad when I can't slow down. And I'll tell you the truth, it's still really hard for me to slow down.
Yeah.
But I cognitively know the value of it. And I get to a place where I realize, like you said, maybe it's 10, 15 minutes, but I need to retreat. I need to withdraw.
Yeah. So I think for the folks wired like you, there's a tendency, you know, your strength is your weakness.
Exactly.
And so there's a tendency to go, it all depends on me.
Right.
Well, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And there's a martyrdom that goes with that and a halo,
right.
You know.
Right.
And, you know, for my personality, it can be the opposite. Hey, it's all done. Mm-hmm. It doesn't depend on me. Yeah. Well, you know,
yeah,
maybe,
yeah,
maybe not.
Very
and cool. So,
that's an interesting phrase. You know, it's been interesting. I would say my 30s and my 40s and probably even my early 50s as I was starting Wellspring. I think you're exactly right. I woke up every day going, oh my gosh, if I don't do it, who will? I've got to get it done. That was the compulsive. Now I don't, maybe I'm blind to this. I don't think I am, but I don't feel like I wake up now with that the same compulsivity I used to have. Mm-hmm. I just think I wake up now going, man, there's a lot to do, and I can't wait to do it. It's fun. Like, fun's my big word, as we've talked about before. Like, last night I told Laura when we were going to bed, I said, man, I got to find a way to make money where all I do is build things, create things, and cook. And she was just laughing at me. She says, why are you so excited? I said, well, there's so much I'm doing. Josh is having a big party at his house tomorrow. And I'm taking my griddle out there. I'm going to do a bunch of smash burgers. I'm going to cook a bunch of hot dogs for kids. It's just a simple party. But, my brain goes into high gear. Like, okay, I got to buy this. I got to make this. I make my shopping list. I make my grocery list. When am I going to load all this stuff? And, like, I love that tyranny, urgent, and that chaos.
Right.
I do. But it's not because if I don't anymore, I didn't feel like it's – If I don't do it, it's not going to happen. I mean, they can order pizza, but there's something about it that in this season, there is something. It's regenerative or restorative almost for me to get to do those things.
Right,
you know,
right.
But it's still the same principle: get up and go. And I don't know. I think for anybody in my personality type, that aggressive stance in the Enneagram that wants to just move and accomplish always, there is something about Hudson's question about learning to be alone and be with yourself that is so valuable. That I think that's the growth place. For my personality type.
Yeah. And I think for this generation, this is observational, not true across the board, but particularly, my kids, some of your kids are in his age range. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of those guys at the golf course. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have just gotten out of school.
Yeah.
And so you're around people constantly.
Yeah.
And social media makes you feel like you're around people constantly.
Right.
So then you have times in the evening or on the weekends and you don't have anything, quote unquote, to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's an unusual feeling. And I think that can feel lonely.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of lonely, I think, to me, that lonely is okay.
Yeah.
Because your life, I don't think we're built for constant.
Stimulation. Whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I had this guy explain to me one day. I don't know anything about cars, but he was talking about the reliability of like a Toyota or a Lexus versus a BMW or German made car. And he said he's a long time guy in the industry. And he said German engines are just as good as the Toyota engines, but they're made differently. They're made to run at a high speed for a short period of time. Uh-huh. That's the way they function. And Toyota's made to run for. Not as high speed and functioning and for longer periods of time. It's not because people think, oh, if I buy a BMW, it's going to break down all the time. Yeah. That's the common, that's what you used to hear all the time. But it's not true. It's just they don't go as long because when they run, like you're saying, they get up in the morning, they're gone.
Right.
It's full blast. So I think one part of his question is difference between loneliness and being alone or being lonely. I think a unique challenge for this generation is you're going to have more time alone as a young adult than you probably either had in, high school or college.
Yeah.
And there's probably an appropriate ratio of time versus time alone based on what you might think it is because of social media, if that makes sense.
Right, right.
Because with social media, you're seemingly surrounded by people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just kind of recognizing that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I'm stuck on the German engine made to go fast. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you have a German made car and you drive slow.
That's crazy. I don't have a BMW though.
Well, yeah, still a good looking car. Yes,
it is. Now, when we're on the interstate and I'm in that car.
Oh, do you roll then?
Oh, man.
Oh, can you? Really?
Oh, I go so fast.
Oh, see, I picked up from you a few weeks ago.
Not in traffic, but like if I'm on, if I drive it to the beach.
Yeah.
Or drive on the interstate
when it's
somewhere.
Open, you're rolling?
I'm gone.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
Yeah. It's just in town and in traffic. But, I'm not fighting, Jen and I are going up to Nashville to see our kids last night, have dinner with them. It's a lot of traffic. It's, bless her heart, She's trying. I'm sitting in one lane. I'm worried because she's just put on a playlist that I already heard that day. I'm like, put something else on. I'm like, and she's like, what about that lane? What about that lane? What about, I'm like, it's going to take us 38 minutes or 39 minutes to get to Will's house. Does it really matter if it's 38 or 39? And, but just two different, but she's coming out of her skin over there. Just like, It's but I don't want to do all the work to get in two lanes and then get back over. I'll just soon sit there. And,
Well, that's funny. We went up to Nashville night before last. We went to the MJ musical at TPAC. I thought we were going to see some Michael Jordan, but no, Michael Jackson.
Oh, Jackson.
It was amazing. But same thing. Traffic was bad. But I found myself, because I can swerve and weave and bob and find that. But I thought, you know what? I'm just going to do the way Laura would like this. And I just got in one lane and stayed. And it was really interesting because I found myself doing like research. I stayed in the same lane the whole time. And I picked cars on both sides of me and going, okay, where are they going to be? And, you know, they would get so far ahead of me. One of them was a state trooper, so it was easy. Got out of sight. But then by the time we got up to 40, I realized I'm two cars behind that state trooper. It was just interesting. I thought, I really just need to chill when I drive.
Well, that's what I thought. I had this van picked out last night that had some kind of logo on it. I thought, I do that too. And I thought, I'm just going to gauge. And we stayed with them the whole way.
Yeah.
And but I did move to some faster lanes and tried to do that. So.
Anyway, sorry, total side note. Back to the loneliness versus being alone. Chip Dodd's book, The Voice of the Heart, you know, we've talked about some great book on core emotions. He talks about eight core emotions. And one of them that he talks about in there is a core emotion is lonely. And if I remember right, he'll talk about how when we're feeling lonely, loneliness is inviting us to spend time with ourself. It's inviting us to go into a deeper, quiet place. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something rich in that, that when I find myself on the Friday night thing, I'm really lonely, to be able to first discern, well, is it just because I'm not hanging with anybody? I need to pick the phone up and call and go hang out with somebody because I want to. That's doable.
Right.
Or is it just feel like, no, the thought of being with someone doesn't sound good. I think that may be where I think what Chip's offering is helpful, to be able to just go, hey, maybe this is an invitation to slow down and be alone with me and really process more. And what I've come to think is, you know, I don't know that loneliness is always one of the most foundational feelings. I think there's usually something behind it, you know, because I think there's times I can feel and go, man, I feel really lonely, and realize that, well, part of it is I'm sad. I'm sad. I haven't seen my kids or my wife's been out of town or what it may be. And I just find myself going, man, I'm actually sad. Or some of it, I suppose, you know, there's a season when you could be lonely. And what you realize is you're afraid, you know, it's late at night, you're walking, you're in a familiar part of town, you don't know where you are, and you're lonely, but I'm not really lonely. I'm actually scared to death. I don't know where I am, you know? And so, and I think there's times, you know, you and I have talked about this some, I think there's times that in this season of my life where I'll go, gosh, I feel lonely. And I realize, yeah. Wait a minute. I don't think it's lonely. I think I'm glad. I think I'm really enjoying just that I've got this time just for me right now.
Right.
And so I think some of the work, back to Hudson's question, you know, I think sometimes when we don't just go, oh, I'm lonely, I need to fix it. I think sometimes we go, yeah, I'm lonely. What's that loneliness telling me?
Yeah.
And in light of what's telling me, well, is there something I need? Whether it's engagement with others or whether it's, gosh, engagement with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, no, it does. And I think for that age group too, it's one of the other things I see is that sometimes it's connection.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, you know, relationship after relationship with a girl, a guy, you know, if you're a girl and or tons of friends, but do you really have people in your life that you can be yourself with?
Yeah. I remember years ago, back in our men's fraternity days, for those of you who may have a clue what that is, one of the things we would talk about early on is we would talk about the danger of being a lonely man, and what we'd say, lonely men create major problems. That was one of the lines that Robert Lewis had used that we all stole when we would teach it. And I think the better word there is not lonely men create major problems, but I think it's disconnected men, isolated men.
Yeah, men can create major problems, lonely or not. the human race creates major problems,
period.
Whether you're lonely or not.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I appreciate about it is that sense of going, man, if I am disconnected, if I'm not known, if I'm living in total isolation, my tendency to get myself in a bad place is higher. I remember, I don't know, has it been a decade ago now? It was on a New Year's Day when I sent a text to you and to Joe and to Brian. And I just said, hey, I know you guys don't know each other. Common thread is me. Happy New Year. I'm realizing the last several months I'm disconnected, not walking with anybody. Would love to meet with a group of guys on a regular basis. Yeah. If you're interested, we'll have an easy out after 8 weeks of doing it. No agenda, no book study, just hanging out and seeing where it takes us, and then we can process. And I remember I was so shocked because it was New Year's Day when I sent that. And I think within a half an hour, all three of you responded, "In, good, yeah." Hmm. And, you know, we ended up meeting together for several years pretty regularly there on the front end, you know. And I think it was indicative in my world of realizing, okay, this is a loneliness that's not good for me. I've isolated, you know, I just transitioned jobs recently, was starting a new business, and yep. Everything was transactional in my relationships. And there wasn't a place to show up and just really be known. And again, I think sometimes loneliness is saying, hey, you just need to be known somewhere, that you need to be in a place of connection with one, two people at a different level than just all the social things. The social things are awesome. They serve a huge purpose. But to have that next level, I think is pretty important for all of us.
Yeah, and you're in such a place, such an odd place professionally.
Yeah.
Where you're seen by everybody. Mm-hmm. But you can't really be yourself in front of everybody.
Right, right.
So even more pronounced, I think, than most guys in our vocations.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I think it puts a greater onus on me to make sure I do have some people I'm walking well with. And, you know, I move in and out of that. Like, there's times when I felt, man, I've got two or three guys that know me well, that I know them well, that, you know, I can, if I need to make a 911 call, I can make one, you know?
Yeah.
But then there's seasons when I realize, okay, I'm kind of on my little Jeff Island over here right now. Yeah. You know, and again, not a problem with being alone, but a problem with being completely disconnected.
I think disconnected is a much better word.
Well, you used that earlier, and I thought that nails it right there. It's when I'm not connected to anybody that knows me at a deeper level.
And not just men. I see that in women, too. Mm-hmm. And Jen and I were talking the other night, and she said, man, if you had a heart attack or something, I wonder who I'd call, you know, just going through the list of who I'd call. I said, well, how about call 911 first? And so we laughed about that a little bit. I still don't know if 911 is going to be your first call or not.
Yeah,
I mean, it may not be. Yeah. So, but I think, you know, that's just human. It's human nature. I mean, I think we get, again, well, I think we're wired for some connections, some more than others.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for my personality, I've recognized that, hardwired, I think, into the Enneagram 4, there's always going to be an element of loneliness.
Yeah. Yeah. Speak to that more. I think that's so powerful.
I don't know. I got to dig into that a little more, probably personally, but I do. I'm good being alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. That's probably, let me say that differently. I'm content being alone. I want to be married. Right. I want to be in relationship with friends and my kids, and I like that. And I have a lot of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And when I need to kind of recharge, I do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I lean toward the introverted side. So, you know, my wife's out of town for a few days, probably going to see some people some, but I'm probably going to spend a good part of that time alone.
Yep. Yeah.
And I don't know that I'm lonely during that time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but there is a, because I'm not naturally wired as relationally as some people, there's a part of my life where I know I'm always going to be, there's always going to be a shade of loneliness there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, when you said that about introversion, I remember when I first learned the Myers-Briggs decades ago, and realizing that the difference between introverts and extroverts aren't necessarily how they interact with people.
Right.
You know, or it's not that introverts don't like people.
Right.
You know, but it's just that introverts are drained by too much people relationship. And so they recharge in isolation.
Yeah.
Where extroverts get charged up in connection or with people, even not in connection, just with people, and can be drained with too much isolation. And so I'm an off the chart extrovert. Laura's pretty moderate, but certainly tilts more toward the introversion side as far as energy. And I can remember when we just had one or two kids early in life, when we'd go to these little couples parties, you know, where there'd be 8-10 party couples there, you know, and we all got babysitters, and it was just a blast just to be out and be with other people, right?
Was it really?
For me, it was. It wouldn't have been for you probably. No, but I just was so energized. And you know, it'd be 9:30 or 10, party start winding down, and inevitably there'd be one or two couples saying, hey, we're going to go to, you know, the equivalent of Waffle House or whatever. We're going to Waffle House and hang out more. And I'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, we'll meet you there. And I'd get in the car and say, hey, Laura, you know, so-and-so is going to Waffle House. And I would look at her and she'd just be like, oh, okay. And it wasn't that Laura's not social. She's amazing with people. But it was, oh, my gosh, I just gave 3 hours. Done. I'm done. I'm ready to go home. And she's pooped by the party. And I'm like energized. Well, let's keep the party rolling, right?
Yeah.
That was a great adjustment for us. But I think that speaks to that, the extrovert-introvert thing. And the need to just be aware of, where am I refueled? Where am I recharged?
Yeah.
Because too much loneliness can be a bad thing for some people. And not enough lonely, being alone, rather, can be a good thing for others.
Right. And again, back to what we were talking about at the beginning, to the question is, all right, so what's your personality type like?
Yeah.
Where are you trying to mask a little bit of your loneliness? Is it too many relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need to spend some time alone, or do you need to reach out and spend some time with some different kinds of people? You know, just only you can evaluate that for yourself.
Yeah. There was a guy who wrote a poem and gave me a copy of it a long time ago. And the only thing I remember about it was the name of it was Alone. And he had this great line in it. He'd been raised in this huge family, 12, 14 people, something like that. And there was one line in it that said something like, surrounded by 12 siblings, noise that could break an eardrum, I stand here alone. I'm sure much more eloquent than that. But I remember thinking, isn't that the truth? That we can be in massive crowds and still, back to Hudson's word, can still feel the sense of loneliness.
Sure.
I don't belong here. But again, that's why I love Chip's word. Pay attention to that loneliness. What's it telling you?
That's a great phrase. Pay attention to it.
Yeah. Trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
It's you know, I think we want to fix our loneliness and get rid of it. Well, maybe, but maybe we just need to go, wait, what's it saying to me right now? Sometimes it's maybe saying, gosh, these really aren't my people. I'm with a group of people and they're doing stuff that I don't want to be a part of right now. And that's not cool. Just excuse yourself and leave early,
right.
You know, or, the loneliness is telling me, you know what, this has been a crazy busy week and these are my people and I love them and I don't have the energy to connect. Probably the best thing I could do tonight is go home and go to bed early and get some rest. Like, what's your loneliness telling you? Just be really attentive to it.
Right, right. I think there's I have a tendency to kind of look at life as an observer.
Mm.
And so one of the things I've learned about loneliness over the years is okay, I enjoy that sometimes. You know, if I'm cooking dinner and my family, we've got people over and I watch the interaction and kind of sit there and look at it almost like I'm watching a movie and it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
And just watching people interact and watching my kids interact or friends. And, but for me, I think sometimes that's an indicator, hey, you need to engage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's probably my pay attention to the
exactly
loneliness. Exactly. You know, what does that tell me? You can't always be an observer.
Yeah, yeah. I think the second half of his statement, would love to hear y'all's take on loneliness versus being alone. And I know we're touching both of them, but I'd love to take just a minute, a thought that hit my head on this, on being alone, the importance of being alone. You know, we kind of touched that a little bit earlier, but just to double back on it, you know, I think about it from, if you're a person of faith, you know, it's a Jesus principle. You know, Jesus in the middle of one of his greatest days of, you know, taking care of people and healing people and working with people. The next morning, the disciples get up and they're looking for him and they can't find him. And early that morning, he went to a place to be alone, you know? And so I think there's something about being alone that brings clarity, that brings perspective, you know? But even if you're not a person of faith, it's a great recovery principle as well. One of the things our dear friends in the 12-step world talk about so much is that need for introspection and reflection and paying attention. And, you know, you make lists, you journal, you're trying to understand what's going on inside of me that led me to this behavior that I've struggled with for so long. Mm-hmm. And I don't know there's a way to do that without just stilling ourselves and slowing down. Even if it is hard, even if it's not natural, there's still such a need and value of going, hey, I'm going to intentionally choose to be alone for 15 minutes or, you know, the whole day, But good things come out of that when we intentionally are going, it's like I'm going on a personal retreat to spend time with me.
Yeah.
To really dig in and go, man, why am I so ticked at my wife right now? What's really going on there?
Yeah.
I think that's what probably led me to a willingness to spend time alone, even if it's just for half an hour or an hour, was when Laura and I would get sideways. And I knew the story I was telling myself was not true about her or about us, but gosh, it was so loud. It was deafening. Mm. And there would be something when I'd go, okay, go ahead and be alone and let the story play all the way out. Take it to its end. Of course, the end is never pretty. And then stop and go, okay, is that what I really want? Is that where we really are? And I think even in asking those two questions, yeah, it would slow me down to go, okay, what's really going on inside of me?
Yeah.
And, you know, this, I mean, gosh, we could do a whole episode on this, but it would sometimes lead me back to going, oh my gosh, I'm playing out crap from being an 8 or 12-year-old boy again, yeah, with my wife right here. That has nothing to do with her.
Right.
But I needed that healthy alone space, that space to just look internal. And again, I think, again, if you've been around any kind of counseling, if you've been around any kind of recovery, if you've been around probably a lot of faith traditions, there's usually an invitation going, hey, slow down, be reflective, listen to what's going on inside. And that's the beautiful part of being alone is, again, we find clarity. We gain perspective.
So give me your reaction to this. I think by asking the question, I think knowing him a little bit and probably a lot of folks in that age bracket, being alone is tough.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think being alone is kind of a guide to what's at the root of my loneliness. Mm-hmm. Loneliness, I think, is about connection. Mm-hmm. Being alone is just it's neutral.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where I think you got to kind of understand yourself a little bit. Hey, am I reaching for someone or something just because I don't like sitting here in my apartment by myself?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I need to sit here by myself, yeah, for a little while?
Yeah.
And just kind of.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think one of the things I'm learning as I get older is that I don't have the same energy level I had when I was younger. When I was younger, I felt like I could go event to event, you know. Now, again, some of that was ugly in me, too. It was feeding me. You know, I felt like I used relationships to make sure I'm okay. But I find myself now that there are days still when I busy days and I get a lot done and can move quickly. And there's other days when, you know, like we'll have a dinner party one night and, you know, somewhere around 1 or 2 that afternoon, I'll start going, I'm dreading this. I'm going, I love these people. Why am I dreading this? And, you know, again, just kind of a quick mental gymnastics of my calendar, I'll go, I've been pushing really hard. I've not been alone in a restorative way for me, even though I'm not an introvert. We extroverts need that sometimes too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's as simple sometimes going in the back porch and laying down on our swing or realizing, well, the good news is I got 3 hours before they get here and I'm cooking. Let me just go out here and I'll tend to the grill. I'll just move slowly. But it's that being alone sometimes helps me then be more present when I'm with the people around the table.
Right.
Which that's what I really want to do. I want to be present.
Right. Right.
Well, Hudson, thank you.
That's a good question.
That's a great question for today.
Mm. No, I was just thinking, you know, you've said this for years and it applies to men and women, but you said it in your world, men are lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true. I think just observationally in the work world, leisure world, you just see it. You just see signs of it.
Yeah.
And being aware of that as a person of faith that, hey man, just, you know, pay attention to the interactions you have, mm-hmm, and ask questions and be interested. Just try to, you know, I think one of the things we can do to remedy loneliness for ourselves and other people to just show some interest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading an article a number of years ago on isolation, and some medical people had done some research on healing after surgery, after procedures for people who have community versus people who don't have community, and how much more quickly the healing would happen for those connected with other people.
Mm.
And the other one was they did some research about the common cold. And it was like, this was like Harvard or something. I mean, somebody ridiculously brilliant did this research, you know, and it was there's a higher percentage of lonely, disconnected people that gets cold, who get colds than people who are connected. And I remember hearing a guy talk about it once. He said, so it's actually true, you know, disconnected people are more snotty than connected people. And, but it was that sense of just going, there's something even about our physical mental health that I'm not saying I understand, but I'm just remembering hearing that several times through the years that there is something about being connected. I think I watched my dad, you know, his last years when, after his wife died and we moved him over here and he lived with us for about a year, and dad kind of started, lost more energy. Now, granted, he was 85 at the time, but my dad's always been a super active guy, but he was just a little quieter, probably a little bit depressed, candidly, and may not have named it well. And after about a year, I remember Laura and I were talking one night, and I said, I feel like we're on the go all the time. Dad ends up being home. He'd stopped driving all day long by himself. That can't be good. And so that's when we moved him into assisted living.
Yeah.
My dad had like this resurrection. I mean, his last 4 years of life were incredible.
Right.
Because I think he had 6 girlfriends, but he was so connected in that place. So many good guy friends too. But, you know, I think that tells you something. If you've ever spent time in one of those, especially unassisted places, I mean, it's fascinating to watch. It's kind of like a frat house at one level, you know.
It's like you've mixed a fraternity and sorority house together.
Well, that's a better way to say it.
Yeah.
But gosh, we were created to be connected. How you start is, it's not good to be alone. There's something about connection that it just meets deep needs in us.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I think I want to say this because I think the younger crowd can experience this. I'm an older too, but I see it more with the younger crowd. Just because you're alone for a night or two,
yeah,
doesn't necessarily mean that that's a bad thing or that you're lonely. Mm-hmm. And again, I just think they come from such a different world of interaction,
yeah,
and are acutely aware of, I think their emotional intelligence is a lot higher than our generation.
Yeah.
But they're acutely aware of everything. And so one night alone feels like I have no friends and I'm lonely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'd just be aware in proportion, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. Hey, just because I've out of the 7 nights a week, I've been alone for 2. I don't know that that's that's not necessarily a bad thing.
That's probably a really good thing is my guess. Yeah.
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 Just the great word. Normalcy of probably what you've come from at that age. And again, all the social media interaction and things you see, something mm-hmm. to do 2, 3, 4 nights out of 7 is probably pretty solid.
Yeah. When you said it, made me think of that word, that little phrase FOMO, right? And I think so many people live with that sense of, oh my gosh, I can't miss out on anything. Well, I want you to have FOMO about missing out on being with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, man, what if I miss out on knowing what's really going on inside of me, knowing what's going on with clarity.
Right.
The number of times I see couples in my office who've been married for 2, 3 years and they're really in a hard place. And then when you hear how they met, and their whole dating courtship thing, it was just one intense situation after the next. You know, we traveled here, we did this, we did that, we hung out with these people, we partied here, we da 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 da. And again, good, that's fun. But marriage is not going to be like that. And so suddenly there's this, my gosh, he's so boring, she's so boring, our life sucks, it's not good right now. I'm going, no, wait a minute. I think you lived in this artificial environment throughout your whole dating courtship world, you know?
Right.
And I've always talked about this, you know, that there's such a difference between two words that kind of sound the same, intensity and intimacy.
Oh, yeah. Big difference.
And we will mistake intensity going, no, things are good. So, you know, I feel lonely. And I think that's what we do. Then I need something more intense. I need to go to a bigger party. I need to take a bigger trip. I need to get more friends. I need to do more. Intensity is going to meet that void, that hole inside of us, when the reality is what we're really hungry for in those moments is intimacy,
right.
Deep connection. And deep connection usually happens in smaller groups, not on the biggest dance floor in the country, you know?
Right, right. That's a good distinction. But we can chase intensity.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to chase.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like the happiness high, right?
Yeah, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But by definition, it's like the BMW engine. Yeah. It can't last.
That's good.
You know, it doesn't. It's just not designed to last.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so in that perspective, life is boring sometimes. There are seasons that are less active, intense, fun than others.
Yeah.
And, you know, That's okay.
And that's not bad, right?
Yeah.
That's
right. There's something to be learned in those seasons.
Yeah. Well, good conversation again, Hudson. Thank you for giving us this question for the day.
Yeah.
If you're listening in and Hudson's encouraging you, we'd love to hear from you. excuse me. I would love to hear from you on behalf of Steve and me because he doesn't want to hear from anybody.
That's not true.
Okay.
It's like the Baptist preacher invitation. You're giving the invitation.
It's not an invitation. Well, yeah, yes, it is an invitation.
Yeah, it is.
But
yeah.
They don't have to cry. They don't have to pray. They don't have to walk forward.
Right.
They can just shoot us any way they want to contact us. But we'd love to hear questions. These are fun. I mean,
you can DM me.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I quit. Okay, I'm done for the day.
No, that's good. Finish your thought. That's good.
No, that was it. I just think if you have any thoughts, questions, anything you want to throw our way that helps us spend time kicking around, we'd love to interact with you.
I like the questions. I like kicking around the question.
Well, no, there's a couple more we'll get to.
Oh, there are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's what you said.
Oh.
One of us said it. I don't know. Maybe there aren't, but we'll get more questions.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Good to talk to you today.
All right.
See you soon.